Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
Support for LAist comes from Visual Communications, presenting VC Film Fest, celebrating 40 years of Asian and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander filmmaking, with over 200 films May 1st through 10th. Info at festival.vcmedia.org.
Today on the LA Report, Metrolink tries new ways to reduce pedestrian and car collisions. South Los Angeles and Orange County are the biggest emitters of a lesser-known greenhouse gas.
It sticks around for a really long time, something like 40 years in the atmosphere, and so it has a really high greenhouse effect.
And later, a local food writer spent years writing one of the only Salvadoran cookbooks available in the U.S. It's Saturday, April 13th. I'm Julia Paskin, and that's coming up on the weekend edition of the LA Report from LAist 89.3. But first, here's the latest news. A 9-0 ruling from the Supreme Court has made it harder for local governments to impose certain fees and a little easier for a builder to sue over such fees. The California case involves George Sheets, a retiree in El Dorado County, stuck with a fee of more than $23,000 when he wanted to build a home on his property. Here's CalMatters' Ben Christopher.
That fee was supposed to offset wear and tear that the county said Sheets' project would inflict on local roads and other infrastructure. Sheets sued, arguing that the county hadn't done enough to justify the cost of that fee.
Supreme Court justices said that if cities and counties want to charge developers for wear and tear costs, they have to prove that the fee matches those costs. Now it's up to the lower courts to decide if El Dorado County met that new requirement. Metrolink will soon test out a new system to help prevent accidents on the tracks after it received more than $1 million from the federal government. LAist producer Tyler Wayne has more.
Metrolink trains were involved in more than 50 car and pedestrian strikes between July and December last year. That's a 40% increase from the year before. Metrolink and LA City officials say the new track intrusion detectors are aimed at improving safety, using AI sensor technology to slow or stop trains when a person is detected on the tracks. The prototype will first be tested along a mile-and-a-half stretch of Metrolink's Ventura County line, between Haskell Avenue and Van Nuys Boulevard, but officials haven't said when rollout will begin. For LAist 89.3, I'm Tyler Wayne.
South Los Angeles and Orange County are the biggest emitters of a lesser-known greenhouse gas, according to a new study. Sulfural fluoride is commonly used to treat infestations of the western drywood termite, a common pest in Southern California. Here is co-author of the study, Dylan Gaeta.
There's this period where we started using sulfural fluoride and then later on found out that, oh, wait, it sticks around for a really long time, something like 40 years in the atmosphere, and so it has a really high greenhouse effect.
California has recognized sulfural fluoride as a greenhouse gas, but it has not required any reductions in emissions. Another author of the study, Scott Miller, says that the chemical came into widespread use for termite fumigation in 2005, a few years before scientists discovered it contributed to global warming.
Sulfural fluoride is in some ways worrisome because it is a greenhouse gas, but it replaces something that was much, much worse for the environment and much worse for public health.
Sulfural fluoride is less common than other greenhouse gases, but it warms the earth a few thousand times more because it can stay in the atmosphere for decades. You can learn more at LAist.com. The former interpreter for Dodger star Shohei Ohtani is out on a $25,000 bond after turning himself in. LAist reporter Yusra Farazan was at the courthouse in downtown LA and has more.
Ipe Mizuhara was also ordered to seek treatment for gambling addiction by a federal judge. The former Japanese interpreter was charged Thursday with bank fraud. He's accused of stealing over $16 million from Otani's bank account. Prosecutors say he used most of it to pay off illegal gambling debts. In court, Mizuhara said he understood the nature of the charges in the criminal complaint. Mizuhara's arraignment has been set for May 9th and faces up to 30 years in prison if convicted. I'm Yusra Farazan.
After 100 years, Lake Tahoe is seeing a long-lost resident, the sandhill crane. LAist's Peyton Seda has more.
Sandhill cranes have slowly been returning to the area to breed after being hunted out of Tahoe a century ago. But their numbers are still low. Will Richardson at the Tahoe Institute of Natural Science urges tourists to give the birds some space.
you are canoeing or paddleboarding in a marsh or wetland, and all of a sudden you hear a crane or see a crane stand up, turn around, back up.
Richardson says if spooked, these birds can accidentally roll their eggs or even their young from their nest into the surrounding water. They are particularly vulnerable to human disturbance during the spring breeding season. I'm Peyton Seda.
You can read more about the sandhill crane in Peyton's story on LAist.com. And as of today, if you are driving to Yosemite, you're going to need reservations to enter the national park. It's part of a pilot program to help with overcrowding and hours-long traffic jams on weekends in the summer months. Again, go to LAist.com to find out how to reserve a spot. Periodic showers are expected throughout much of the region starting this afternoon, with the possibility of thunderstorms tomorrow. Here's Dave Bruno with the National Weather Service.
The general good news is overall we're not expecting tremendous amounts of rain, but there's been so much rain this winter and the hillsides are still unstable, so any rain would be problematic.
Bruno says between 5 to 10 inches of snow are expected for the mountains, particularly at higher altitudes. More coming up after this break.
Support for LAist comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This fascinating exhibition features all four of the Spanish artist's major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. With over 200 prints on view, this exhibition offers insight into the artist's creative process and the full range of his expressive capacity. Now on view. More information at nortonsimon.org.
Support comes from Visual Communications, presenting VC Film Fest, celebrating 40 years showcasing Asian and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander filmmaking, featuring over 200 works ranging from narrative film, documentary films, photo exhibits, and new media. VC Film Fest honors our beloved elder cultural workers, linking them to present and emerging artists to empower communities and challenge perspectives. May 1st through 10th in Little Tokyo and in Long Beach. Info at festival.vcmedia.org.
Back now to the LA Report, I'm Julia Paskin. A local writer is releasing a new book about Salvadoran food. Salvisol is an homage to Salvadoran cuisine, the range in flavors, and the stories of the women who have preserved these recipes. Author Carla Tatiana Vasquez shared why she spent years researching this book.
I started this project in 2015. I had a craving for Salvadoran salpicón, and I had no idea how to really satisfy that craving. I didn't have the skills, I didn't have a recipe, and so I thought, let me call the person I know makes this with ease and would be happy to share it. That was my grandmother, my Mama Lucy. And I call her, and she quickly says, oh, claro que sí, yo te doy la receta, I'll give you the recipe. Why haven't you learned this? You've lived with family, you've eaten this all your life. This craving brought a lot of inquiry into my life as far as identity, culture, the habits that kind of create the life that we experience day in and day out. So that's where I decided to have interviews from those cooking sessions. These stories started to come out also. Right. And the stories had a lot to do with, you know, something that teaches you about living, about loss, about love.
In these conversations, is there an example from any of them of one of those, like, we started with a meal and we ended up somewhere very deep that you would want to highlight from the book?
One of the stories that comes to mind is from someone I met later on. Her name is Miriam. And while I was interviewing her, I asked, hey, so what's a recipe you want to contribute, right? And she said, well, I don't really have anything that's interesting. I'm not a chef. You know, our food is just very humble. It's from el campo. You know, we're from a farm. She wasn't giving herself enough credit for the recipe she eventually shared. So She's like, well, there's this recipe called gallo en chicha. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is that? I've never heard of gallo en chicha. I have never seen it in a menu for a Salvadoran restaurant. Explain to me what it is. And then she says it's a rooster cooked in chicha, which is essentially a homemade wine that's mixed with around 24 other ingredients.
Wow.
And it takes about 5 days to make if you make it from scratch the way her mother showed her, her aunt, her grandmother showed her. It's a long few day process, right? And I'm soaking this in. I'm like, this is exactly what I want to hear because this is the work. And then as I'm listening to her talk about it, and she had just said that this was nothing, you know, this is farm food, right? I realized that when you're in an immigrant community that's often been marginalized, the narrative that we ourselves start to share is the narrative we hear about ourselves. Mm. And that we come from a place that's nothing, that, you know, who cares what comes from this small little corner in the world, right? I always say, yeah, I'm from El Salvador, a very small country, but the questions I have about this place have been the biggest questions in my life.
Any other takeaways that you want to share about the process of writing the book and just your relationship to this food after 9 years of this exploration?
You know, at the beginning of this work, I heard a lot of no's. I heard people say to me, where in Mexico is El Salvador? When I started doing this work too, and I would tell other Salvadorans about my work, other Latinos too, some Salvadorans would say to me, oh, Carla, don't waste your time, girl. Well, all we have is pupusas. That's all the Americanos want. Try to learn something else, you know. Mm-hmm. Or I had one Latino writer who said to me, Carla, the only exciting cuisines in Latin America are Mexican, Peruvian, and maybe Puerto Rican food. So don't bother, right? And so again, that is those narratives that we hear that we start to believe ourselves, and then we start to champion those narratives that actually keep us at the margin. Mm-hmm. And so now I had all of that kind of weighing on me, like, thinking, what if they are right? Right. And thank goodness they were very wrong. And we have a whole book to prove it. And we have a whole culture to prove it.
That is Carla Tatiana Vasquez, author of Salvi Sol, which comes out April 30th. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
It has been an honor. Thank you.
That interview was co-produced with Jillian Moran Perez. You can read more about the Salvi Sol cookbook at LAist.com. Thanks for listening to the weekend edition of the LA Report. The Weekend LA Report is hosted by me, Julia Paskin, and produced by Monica Bushman and Kevin Tidmarsh. Our engineer is Sean Corey Campbell. The podcast is edited by Fiona Ng. Catherine Mailhouse is the director of content development, and our vice president of podcasts is Shana Naomi Crockmall. Join us back here tomorrow. You can read more at LAist.com and listen live on the LAist app or on the radio at 89.3 FM. Listeners like you help make the LA Report possible. Please donate at laist.com/join. This podcast is supported by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe quality journalism makes Southern California a better place to live.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at laist.com/sweeps.